Hello, listeners. Greetings from your newest radio station, WNEB. 1230 on your radio dial. Welcome to WNEB's dedicatory day party. Here in the main ballroom of the Hotel Sheraton, a lot of our good friends and neighbors have gathered to help us celebrate the official opening of Worcester's newest station. So leave the dial at 1230 and help us christen the new baby. Now meet an old friend of yours, Worcester. He opened up the first radio station to broadcast in Worcester just 24 years ago. And he's come back to help us launch the latest one. Here he is, your master of ceremonies, Chet Gaylord.
Good afternoon, neighbors. Yes, I was here when they opened up Worcester's first radio station 24 years ago. I'm very glad they called on me to be here when WNEB decided to have its official opening. Helping us to hold the little party this afternoon is John Moss, program director, WNEB, who's doing the announcing, Roland Smith, the night watchman, and Bill Pierce, the proprietor of the 1230 Club. And, of course, Joey Parks and his orchestra were about to back me up while I sing a song that I think you'll all remember. All sleepy time, gal, you're turning night into day. Sleepy time, gal, you've danced the evening away. Before each silvery star fades out of sight, please give me one little kiss and let us whisper goodnight. It's getting late and dear, your pillow's waiting. Sleepy time, gal, when all your dancing is through. Sleepy time, gal, I'll find a cottage for you. You'll learn to cook and to sew. What's more, you'll love it, I know. When you're a stay-at-home, play-at-home, 8 o'clock, sleepy time, gal. Play a voice. Before each silvery star fades out of sight, please give me one little kiss and let us whisper goodnight. It's getting late and dear, your pillow's waiting. So, what's more, you'll love it, I know. When you're a stay-at-home, play-at-home, 8 o'clock, sleepy time, gal.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, Worcester, as we've said before, now has four radio stations. Since the time WNEB first began to think about going on the air, we've received a good deal of friendly help from everyone we met, especially from our brother stations here in Worcester. Today, representatives of those three stations have come here officially to welcome us to the city. May I present Mr. Gil Hodges, a colleague of mine of former days gone by, the chief announcer of station WTAG. Mr. Hodges.
Thank you very much, Chet. And speaking for the management and staff of WTAG, may we extend to station WNEB a sincere welcome to Worcester's radio family. Local stations are the backbone and the lifeline of the radio industry, and through these stations, American radio has become one of the most important of social forces. Still new, still developing, radio, the free radio of a democracy, promises to fulfill its social function to the greatest possible extent. Official surveys have proved that radio is at the top for the best source of information and entertainment in mass transmission. Radio stimulates thought and is stimulated by thought, for its success has been dependent upon the belief of those men who knew that radio must be free, and that being so, it would be the best and the first instrument of democracy. As Worcester's oldest radio station, therefore, WTAG is happy to welcome Worcester's newest radio station, WNEB.
Well, thanks, Mr. Hodges. And now here is another former associate of mine. Very happy to see again, Mr. Phil Brook. Mr. Brook is the program director of WAAB. How are you, Phil?
Well, fine, Chet, and thank you for inviting me up here. Being invited to be present at the dedicatory program of your radio station exemplifies to all the friendly spirit that is so typical of the radio industry here in Worcester and, in fact, throughout the nation. Naturally, we are competitors, but it will indeed be a sad day when we cannot take time to extend to new associates in our field a hand of welcome and to say the best of luck to your staff at WNEB.
Well, thank you very much, Phil Brook. Now representing WORC here today is the managing director of that station. Never worked with you, Miss Stanton, but we've been back and forth from New York together too many times in the train in the interest of radio. So it's indeed a pleasure to welcome the managing director of the station, WORC, Miss Mildred Stanton.
Thank you, Chester. It's nice to hear your voice on a local microphone again. It's really like old times. Just before radio station WNEB went on the air with its first Worcester broadcast, we ran a series of announcements over our own station, WORC. In these announcements, we welcomed WNEB to Worcester, offered our cooperation regarding the many problems which beset a new station, and expressed our best wishes to WNEB for the success of its new venture. To some, this may appear to be merely a conventional gesture. To others, it may seem contradictory that an established business would go out of its way to welcome a rival concern. To us at WORC, neither of these assumptions apply. The addition of a new station stimulates competition, and where there is competition, there must always be improvement. We of Broadcasting House are truly happy to welcome to WNED, to Worcester, not only because we have always thrived on competition, but because the advent of this new station will act as a high pole toward the general improvement of radio programming for Worcester's radio audience. And it is to this audience that radio is truly, I got it all balled up here now, and it's that audience that radio owes its very existence, and there's no question about that. And so to the owners and employees of radio station WNEB, I extend a cordial welcome to the radio group in Worcester with my sincere wishes for every success. Thank you.
Well, thanks very much indeed to all three of our brother stations, WTAG, WAAB, and WORC. We'll do our best to keep up the good work that you've been doing in Worcester. And together, we'll strive to give Worcester the very best in radio listening. Now Joey Park from the orchestra and the bright samba, Bim Bam Boom. When Worcester citizens first noticed that new tower going up on the park building, they paused on their way down Main Street and said to each other, that must be the new radio station they're talking about. And that's what it was. The little figures they saw up there were the steel workers fishing up as many feet of steel per day as the winter winds would allow. For most of the people who glanced up, it was the beginning of WNEB. Ah, but there's more to it than that. The beginning of WNEB happened long before that. And it's quite a story. It didn't seem very funny when it was happening, but looking back at it, it really was funny. We thought you might like to know about it in case you wanted to start a radio station someday. It all began back on a brisk day in autumn, 1945. Just a minute, Joe. I said autumn, remember?
In autumn.
On October 5th, 1945, a very long, very pertinent document was filed with the Federal Communications Commission. This was the application for WNEB. Now, the document asked a good many questions of the men who filled it out. It also gave many instructions and specifications, like this.
Before executing applications, the Communications Act of 1934, as amended, Part 1, Rules of Practice and Procedure, Part 2, General Rules and Regulations, and Part 3, Standard Broadcast Rules of the Commission's Rules and Regulations, and the Standards of Good Engineering Practice concerning standard broadcast stations, all technical terms, such as the normally protected conduits and objectionable interferences, are for convenience.
As we said, very pertinent. Takes a lawyer to understand things like that, you might say. Well, you'd be right. A lawyer and an engineer. You see, before we filed the application, we had already engaged a consulting engineer in Washington who made a survey to see if the frequency we wanted was available in Worcester. Question, what is a frequency?
The number of cycles a carrier wave goes through each second of time is called a frequency, or a frequency...
We'll call it a spot on the dial. Anyway, that's what we had to have the engineer for. He found one for us, 1230. Looks pretty good. And we had the attorney. We had gone to him several months before that. Now, he was a very special kind of attorney, dealing in nothing but cases for the FCC. His advice was directly given.
First of all, boys, if you want to start proceedings on this application, you'll need a few things. For one thing, a pair of track shoes.
Track shoes?
Gotta do some leg work, son. You'll have to see a few bureaus, agencies, and commissions. The FCC, the CAA, the CPA, the OPA, the S... Ever hear of them, son?
No, but I just thought of something else we'll need. Scissors and a basket.
Scissors? Basket? What for, son?
What for?
Ever hear of red tape, son?
He wasn't kidding. We made out the application. It wasn't all technical information entirely, and the questions weren't all legal ones. For instance, on page 10, section 8, subscript A, it says,
if applicant is other than an individual and any partner, officer, member of the governing board, director, or principal stockholder has, or within the past 5 years has had, a substantial interest, 25% or greater, in any business or financial enterprise or any official relationship.
See what we mean? There was a good deal to it. But we made it out and filed it, as we have said, on October 5th, 1945. So we went back to the attorney and said, what do we do now? Said the attorney.
Oh, wait!
But we didn't have too much time on our hands. There were things to do. Now, there was a hearing in Woonsocket, for one thing, that we attended. It was on, quote, engineering reasons, unquote. That was when we discussed with one of the Federal Communications Commissioners the interference we might cause with, a station in Kokomo or one in Chillicothe. Now, after that, hopefully, we asked our attorney again, what do we do next? And he said,
away!
Well, this wait wasn't so long. We had a hearing a few days later in the federal building in Worcester. That was on March 2nd, 1946. We said, now we're getting somewhere. But the attorney only said,
wait!
It was 2 months later that the first tangible evidence that we could start our radio station came in. This valuable paper was called a conditional construction permit. It said, let's not go into that involved phraseology again. But what it meant was that we could go ahead and find a site for the transmitter and tower. Do you know how many rooftops there are in Worcester? We can tell you. We were on them all. Dizzy from reading contour maps and judging elevations, we finally came to the park building. Looks good, we said. So we had a civil engineer look it over. He started at the ground floor, way below it, in fact, way down in the subsoil. And he went over the building, rivet by beam, to see if it could stand the weight of 225 feet of steel tower on its noggin. It could. Now what?
Application for modification of construction permit specifying Park Building Worcester as proposed site for erection of station. Well, what's the call letter?
WNEB, sir. WNEB. We had cleared the call letters by now. We are the New England Broadcasting Company, and so we requested the commission to grant us the use of the call letters WNEB. They'd be glad to, they said, except that
the records of the Bureau of Customs indicate that the letters in question were assigned for the use of the gasoline vessel Sadie B. 26 gross tons, Naples, Florida.
But the owner of the Sadie B was sympathetic, happily. He released the call letters to us with good wishes. So here's good wishes back to the Sadie B. Long may she sail. Now, where were we? Oh, yeah. We were waiting again. For the Civilian Production Administration this time. Seems we had approved that radio tubes and transmitters are not needed for veterans' housing. Get out the fine-tooth combs. Go through the list and make sure we weren't going to use those critical materials. Item.
Lumber to build a raised floor in the control room.
That was raised eyebrows signifying disapproval. Note. Our engineers have chronic stiff necks. We still don't have a raised floor in the control room so they can see easily into the studios. We thought of periscopes, but we're afraid of asking the CPA. Those raised eyebrows, you know. But we went ahead, knocked down partitions on the top floor where the studios were to be, while the steel workers were pushing girders into the sky, trying to get the tower completed before the deadline, December 16th. Ah, no, no time on our hands now. We were racing to get the thing done, but there wasn't enough time. All of us, engineers, program personnel, everybody was working to get WNEB on the air the 16th, and the thing we didn't have.
Hey, how do we know when the microphones are on?
Well, we don't have any relays for the signal lights yet. They're ordered, but they haven't come in yet.
Oh, well, how are the turntables coming?
Oh, they're still coming. Haven't arrived yet.
Oh, well, we've got the good old transmitter, haven't we?
Yep, we've got the good old transmitter.
Let's go in and look at it again.
Yeah, let's.
But it came. Some of the equipment came as late as the 14th. 48 good working hours before the deadline, the 16th. And the sleepless engineers dragged themselves in to say that the equipment was ready for the final test. So we skipped another night's sleep and tried it out. Sounded pretty lovely, even at 4 o'clock in the morning, to hear march music coming from the tower. Even the oscillator beat sounded more musical than it ever had. The testing laboratories at Riverhead, Long Island, thought it sounded pretty good, too. And after a couple of adjustments, right on the beam. Right on the dial spot where we belong, 12:30. Well, as a matter of fact, it came long before sunrise the morning of December 16th, and it wasn't softly. It was a good, strong signal that hit Worcester with a bang. The bang sounded like this to those who were up at 6 a.m. on December 16th.
Good morning. This is radio station WNEB with studios and transmitter in the Park Building, Worcester, Massachusetts, broadcasting for the first time this morning. Station WNEB is owned by the New England Broadcasting Company and operates...
Yeah, we were on the air. The effect on the personnel, owners, engineers, announcers, everybody, was quite marked. None of them heard the national anthem.
Hey, we're on the air.
Yeah, we're on the air.
Hey, somebody revive me. Just one announcer and one engineer, will you? We got a radio station to run.